This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this privilege now of hearing your word that the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can. Teach us, tell her the truth so that he meets us right where we are, lifting us to the place you would have us to be. For your glory and our good, in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to commence reading at verse 41. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. Recorded are these words. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, verse 44 is where I want to focus, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, journeying without Jesus. Journeying without Jesus. My brothers and sisters, what a wonderful, insightful word that we have based on a historical happening in the life of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And yet how it seems to somehow reflect many of our journeys in life, where we too, supposing the Lord is with us, have not realized that he is not necessarily present just because we suppose him to be. There are some things that we ought to be sure of in this life, and there are some things we ought not leave to chance. And I don't know about you, but life is tough enough with Jesus than to try and live life without him. I want you to see this, because when Christ was 12, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem for the Passover commemoration. Now, I want you to know this, because as we look at this word and understand it, there are things about it that help us to see and understand, according to the word, what transpired. It's clear, because when we look at this and see how God operates, and he is so faithful to operate according to his word, even though he was the Son of God, his family used all of the normal and natural resources to raise him up and give him as normal of a life as they possibly could. His parents obeyed all of the laws, kept all of the ceremonial feasts, did everything that a good Jew was supposed to do. And so there were no exceptions because he was the Son of God. As a matter of fact, he held closely, more so, and they as well, to the principles and to the laws and to the statutes of God, to make sure that Jesus had a strong spiritual foundation and that everything that was done to the letter of the law. The law required 3 times a year for the males to be brought back to Jerusalem to celebrate 3 different feasts. The family was focused on this, they were faithful to this, and they followed through on this. And on this one occasion, and especially at the year when the male Jew would make 12 years old, it was that fine line of changing from childhood in the minds of Jews to manhood. And so it was at that critical time that Jesus goes back and he comes into the awareness more so, and he presents and pronounces that he understands who he is and whose he is and what his mission is all about. Now keep in mind, Mary and Joseph knew they had a special child.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And they knew he was going to save his people from their sins, but they didn't get a detail by detail report of how it's going to be done. So this is the first time that they have an encounter with his awakening.
Yes.
Of who he is before God and in the sight of the people. Let's go back to the verse and read again. Now, verse 41 says, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This was only one of the three. And verse 42 says, and when he was 12 years old, signifying again that that was a part of that ceremonial rite of bringing him and crossing him over into manhood, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now, verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days, in other words, that they had done everything that was ceremonially right for them to do and completed and finalized all of those things, the Bible says, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Well, now, the first thing many of us will think, well, what is the problem with Mary and Joseph? The boy is 12 years old. They don't know where he is. He's running wild and running wild. Don't know, no, you know, have no idea that he's not even in the group. But you got to understand that many times in the Eastern culture, people traveled in caravans, and kinfolk and so forth from various towns, villages, and hamlets would get together and decide when they were going to take the journey and when they were going to leave. And the children and the women would lead usually the caravan, and the men would lag behind and bring up the rear. And so here is what perhaps happened, that Joseph thought that Jesus was up there with Mary. Mary thought that he was either in the crowd with all the other children that were before the women. And if he wasn't up there, then he held back and hung out with Joseph. So each one of them, not properly communicating with each other, just assumed the child was with them. Now, you know, today many of us would take many exceptions with that and so forth and so on, but certainly this was not something to frown upon, because this again was the way they traveled. And remember, they were with family. And neighbors are folk that they were acquainted with. So they didn't feel any harm. They just assumed that sooner or later, when they made camp, Jesus would find them and all would be well. But they went, the Bible says, a day's journey. Listen again to what this word says. The Bible says, verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, either in front or behind, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. First of all, there is a realization of Christ's absence. It took them a whole day's journey to realize that Jesus wasn't with them. My brothers and sisters, while again we see this and we look at this in context of Scripture, my question to you is, have you ever taken out time to survey and to make sure that the Lord is with you? And how long did it really take you to discover he wasn't present with you? You see, because many times we don't stop and recognize and realize until there is some need in our lives or there is some point of reference that we recognize that the Lord is not with us. Some of us can go through our day because we're so used to traveling without him. So used to doing things without him. So used to having conversation and communication and connections without him. It really isn't until we get in trouble. And we reach back for him. We look for him. We call on him. And he doesn't answer us, that we realize that he isn't there. How long has it been for you? Has it been days? Has it been weeks? Has it been months? Has it been years since you realized Jesus really was? When was the last time you had a good fellowship with him? A good conversation. Yeah. Listen, you might say, well, I talked to him this morning. Yeah, you might have talked to him, but you may not have spoken with him. It's one thing when folk talk to you. Folk can talk to you and still never talk with you. And just because you talked to him don't mean he talked back with you. When was the last time you communed with him? When he was in your presence? Because I got news for you. You can always tell when the presence of the Lord is near. But by the same token, you can tell when he's not. But when he's been gone so long, you become numb. You begin to be insensitive to the fact that he's not near. You just suppose he's somewhere. You know when you're just not used to being together, it's like, well, I know he's somewhere around. He ain't far. But sometimes ain't far ain't good enough. And ain't far could be too far away. What about Peter when he was sinking? What about if Jesus would have been too far? What about when you walk through scripture and see all of the places of contact and connection that people had with Jesus? What about if he had been too far from them? Not too far in the sense that they couldn't see him or reach him, but too far for them to be helped by it. And some of us live our lives with Jesus being close enough for us to see him and know that he's around, but not yet with us and connected to us on our journey. On Sunday mornings, I can look in your worship many times. And I can see you sense he's in the building. But he ain't near you. You see him moving and ministering by his spirit, touching and flowing. But you know he hadn't touched you because he's not near you. He's not traveling with you. I want you to see this again because it's important. If there's one thing you need to have in this life, it is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior and traveling with you. They went a day's journey. Say a day's journey. Now, a day's journey is too long without Jesus. I just couldn't make it without Jesus. Another day, another hour, another minute, another second. There are some things I got to have him every minute of the day, every moment. I need him every hour. There's an hour sometime I've got to call on him more than once in that hour. And I don't know about you, but there are some days that I need to say, Lord, walk with me. I mean, I can't take a step lest you take it. And so sometime in our lives, my brothers and sisters, I disconnect from the Lord. Makes us many times insensitive to the fact that God wants to be connected with us every day, every step of the way on our journey. So that was the realization of his absence. But also, let's look at the results of Christ's absence, Jesus' absence. The word says, again, they went a day's journey. The results of traveling without Christ were considerable. In other words, it cost you to travel without Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I said it cost you to travel, to journey, to move, to live without Jesus. There are three things it cost Mary and Joseph at least to travel that day's journey without Jesus. The first thing is it cost them progress. Progress. I want you to know today, and I want you to hear me clear. I don't care what you've got on your agenda. I don't care what you have planned. I don't care what your goals are. If you try to seek them without Jesus, you will not be progressive. You will not be successful. Well, how do you know this, preacher? Because one of the things the record is clear about is they lost progress on the journey. Look at the word again. The Bible says,
Verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Verse 45, and when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Look at verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Listen at this now. It cost them 3 days of progress. Now, either the caravan had to stay there and wait for them 3 days while they went back to find their sons, or they had to travel alone outside of the comfort and convenience of the caravan because they went on because they left their son in Jerusalem. So the progress they were making on their journey, all of it became of non-effect because they had to turn around and go back to where Jesus was. You see, my brothers and sisters, you wonder why when you take one step forward and have to take two back. It seemed like every time you make a little headway, something else comes and knock you further back. It seems like when it seems like things are working out and all the stuff is coming together and it's working out just like you planned it, and all of a sudden you realize something is missing, and the missing thing is the main ingredient. You realize you can't go any further, so you got to go back all the way where you started from. Now, that's not progress. You are digressing. So that means, listen, whatever, and I want to throw this out parenthetically, whenever you leave Jesus, don't ever think you're progressing. Somebody don't hear me here. Or you might have gotten off the path and said, well, I'm going to pursue my dream. I'm going to do this. I'm going to achieve this. I'm going to do the other, on and on and on. But you left Jesus right there, and you went on your way. You followed some get-rich-quick scheme. You started your own business. You followed this entrepreneur, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you left Jesus alone. And it looked like you were making a little headway, and you got excited about it. But you reached a place of impasse. You couldn't get no further because you left the main ingredient behind. Now listen at this. I don't care how fast you travel in the wrong direction, you never make progress. No matter how fast you travel in the wrong direction, you never make progress. Why? Because when you come to yourself, you got to make a U-turn. Come all the way back to where you missed your turn and start all over again. Look at all the gas you didn't burn. Look at all the time you've lost. Look at how the frustration has built up because you left Jesus going in the wrong direction. And any direction without Jesus, amen, is wrong. Listen at this. They not only lost progress, but they lost pleasure. They were pleased to travel. They had this time of fellowship with family and acquaintances, and they caught up with one another in the happenings of what was going on in each other's lives and families, and they felt good. It was a good time. They made use of that time, and it was a time they looked forward to. But when they left Jesus, they lost the pleasure of fellowship even with family and friends because they lost, again, that contact with Jesus that brought sorrow to their heart after they realized their son was missing. Yes. Now, what's interesting about it is Jesus really wasn't missing. He really wasn't lost. He was left. I say that again. He wasn't missing. He wasn't lost. He was left. And so one of the things you're going to recognize about the text and about the reality of our lives as well is the reason he wasn't missing was because they knew where to find him. The reason he wasn't lost was because when they remembered where he last was, they backtracked to the same place. And the record is it took them 3 days to get back and find him. And when they found him, listen at this, he was right in the place where they left him. Now, you know what's interesting about it? They didn't, if they had gone back and started where they really left him at, in the temple, talking with the folk that they didn't think he would be talking with, they looked for all of the places they thought a 12-year-old would be. They went to a place where they thought, where would he hang out at? Where are the places that would attract the attention and the minds of young people? And they went to all of those places first, only to discover Jesus wasn't there. Because he identified with who he was and whose he was. He identified with the fact that he had a heavenly Father who was now making him aware of his purpose for being here on planet Earth. I want you to see this because, again, not only did it cost them their pleasure, but the record is it also cost them their peace. And I got to tell you, you can't ever have peace on your journey without Jesus. You might have this and you might have that and you might have the other, but you'll never have peace without Jesus on your journey. Don't care how much it seems like you are succeeding, you will never have peace underneath your skin. It'll always feel like something is wrong. Something is not right. And if Jesus is not in his place, you will discover that you will not. When they discovered they were without Christ, they experienced great troubling in their hearts. But third thing I want you to see, and this is interesting, the reason for Christ's absence. Now, the reason is simple, again, and we've looked at it in Scripture, but I want you to see this because it's not just about Mary and Joseph. It's about us. The record is in verse 44, supposing is the word. Supposing him to have been in the company. Now, my brothers and sisters, so many times, even on Sunday mornings, your worship experience is incomplete. Because while you came to his house, you discovered that he was supposed to be in the house. But listen at this, even if he's in the house, doesn't mean that he's in your heart. And a whole lot of us miss Jesus in his house. And many of us miss it because we suppose that just because I show up, he's going to show up in us. But we've got to welcome him in. He says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any woman, any girl, any boy, open his heart unto me, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. You can't suppose that just because folk are in church, Jesus is in them. Lord, I wish I had a witness. You suppose because people serve in certain positions that Jesus is in them. Now, don't get me wrong. He's supposed to be. And many confess him to be. But you can look at lifestyles and you can look at the way folk talk to one another, handle one another, look at one another, treat one another, and carry on with one another that he's supposed to be in them, but he's far from them. He's supposed to be in your praise, but there ain't no praise that's worthy of him, and he ain't gonna be in no mediocre praise. He's supposed to be in your mouth, even his word. But if his word is not there, he's not there. And so as you look through this word and through this text, and you see supposing him to be with the company, they just say, well, he ain't with us, but we know he with somebody. And true that is, he is with somebody. But you need him to be with you. Listen at this. I want you to see this because there are three things that happen here, supposing him to have been in the company. First of all, that they were without Christ because they made haste. As soon as the Bible says, as those days were fulfilled, verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, they're like, Lord, I'm glad all is over. Let's go home. And don't act all spiritual. You know, sometime on Sundays, you can't wait till church is over with. Especially if the Holy Ghost tarry a little while and we get out the norm and the Holy Ghost lingers and you're like, Lord, whew, I ain't took my pills and I'm hungry. They couldn't wait, Sister Edna, to get back home. But the word says, and as they returned, the child Jesus tarried. Listen, they hurried, and he tarried. Look at the differences right there. They wanted to get away from it. He wanted to get deeper in it. And so here when you see that, they tarried in Jerusalem, but Joseph and Mary did not. It takes time to spend with God, to get to know him, to experience. You can't be in a hurry when you want God to show up in your experience. You've got to learn how to make time and take time to spend with God and not hurry the experience like some express worship service, expression of worship is going on. You can't hurry God and what God wants to do. And so when we learn how to wait on him, it'll make our wait worthwhile. So he tarried there according to the word. But I want you to see this because here's something else that's important. The second thing is, they were lost without him, and his absence and reasons for their absence was they were preoccupied with other concerns. Not only did they rush, but they were rushing, being preoccupied with returning home and other concerns about that journey and on that journey. And my brothers and sisters, sometimes you can leave Jesus because you are preoccupied with too many other things on your mind. You see, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him because he careth for you. When you come to church, I don't care what's going on in your life outside these doors. I don't care what's going on in your heart, in your mind, in your body, in your experiences. When you come to the house of God, when you come to the place where you're seeking God's presence, you ought to put all of those concerns out of the way and focus on Jesus. Being preoccupied with too many other things causes us to miss him and lose him and leave him on our journeys. And therefore, we come to church with nothing and we leave church with nothing, because while God was giving out something, it passed right over you because you were preoccupied. And you can tell many times when you have to lean over and ask the brother or sister on the side, what'd he say? Folks start rejoicing and shouting, and you're like, whoa! What'd he say? Had you been occupied with trying to get what God had for you, had you been occupied with, Lord, I need a word from you. Lord, I need you to give me direction. Lord, I need you to give me peace. Lord, I need you to work my situation out. If you were looking to Jesus, you wouldn't be preoccupied with your problems. Tell somebody, don't let your problems get in the way of Jesus. Come on, tell somebody else, don't let your problems get in the way of Jesus. Well, tell yourself, self, don't let my problems get in the way of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Listen to this.